Tell me about it.
Tell me. Host, bells. I'm fine. Topic tonight, it's not so pertinent to the parsha. Maybe if we thought hard, we could think something through. I honestly didn't even try. But the topic is fasting on Fridays. And the reason why this is the topic, having nothing necessarily to do with the parsha, or not saying anything, maybe one could find the connection, is that this Friday is Asar B'Teves. Mirz Hashem will be Zoche, then Mashiach will come, and it will be turned into a joyous day, as the Pasuk Tzachariah tells us that the fast days will become joyous days in the future. But barring that, I assume we all have intentions to be fasting this Friday, Mirz Hashem. Asar B'Teves says the calendar currently stands as the only communal fast day that is obligatory, that comes on a regular basis, that pretty much all of Klal Yisrael commemorates and has. It hasn't always been that way, as we'll encounter. Prior to the establishment of the calendar, there are cases in the Gemara where we find Tanoim had Tisha B'Av on a Friday, which, assuming because most frequently Tammuz would be a set amount of days, as we find in Gemara Tainus and other things, that would mean that Shavuos B'Tammuz presumably also fell out on Friday. Not to bore everybody, we're not going to go into the details, but just because it's one of those things that I do somewhat find interest, if you remember this year that we gave about the history of the development of our calendar, so if the calendar was not fully established until the 9th century, which is in the times of the Gaonim, the way things seem to be indicated is that Rosh Hashanah was still capable of falling out on Sunday until around that time, even though there was somewhat of a proto-calendar at that point. And that would mean that pretty much all fast days that we have would be able to, all the big four, I should say, would be able to fall on Friday, with the exception of Tzom Gedaliah. But Tzom Gedaliah would possibly be able to follow if Rosh Hashanah was being kept for one day in Eretz Yisrael, which we know historically was at certain points in time. I don't know when they kept Tzom Gedaliah. If they kept it on Beis Tishrei, then it's possible that in certain instances in Eretz Yisrael they had it. Yom Kippur already, from Shas, we know, cannot fall out on Friday. Yom Kippur is a different story. Fine. So that's that. But either way, in the way the calendar is currently arranged, it is impossible for any regular annual fast to occur, ones that are observed by all classes. So there are certain days, just to point out, that used to be more popular, such as Erev Shabbos Chukas, which I know we've talked about historically what happened there, and why it was such a sorrowful day. It was, essentially what happened was the 24 cartloads of Shas were burnt in 1242, and it was commemorated as an Erev Shabbos. Many people used to fast. So there is precedent for there being fast days even other than Asar B'Teves within the calendar, but they're not global, so to speak. They're not things that all of Klal Yisrael has accepted, and they're not things that necessarily even the whole communities would be keeping one year after another. Okay, so fasting on Friday does seem odd. Why should it be different, though? So you start fasting, you finish fasting, what's the difference? The difference is that there is a mitzvah on Shabbos to be essentially be happy, or to have oneg. And certainly not for one to be in pain on Shabbos. It's usher for one to cause pain to himself or herself on Shabbos. And that's an interesting thing, because sometimes you don't think about it, but reading certain things or thinking about certain things, whatever they might be, can, depending what it is, depress somebody. And one is really supposed to refrain from those activities on Shabbos because of Oneg Shabbos. There are instances when it's actually mutter to cry on Shabbos if it's going to be a release, if somebody needs that release. But barring really, it's just to, focus on sorrow is not what Shabbos is about. Additionally, you're not allowed to fast on Shabbos for that reason. Now, if you're going into Shabbos fasting, that means by definition that at least for the first second of Shabbos, you're fasting. Because it's going to be impossible to make kiddush and start eating without at least a second of time elapsing. Presumably, you would have davened Maariv. There's a Ramban in Torah Adam that indicates that standard practice of Kabbalah Shabbos used to be davening Maariv, which for many people nowadays it is. We've added what we call Kabbalah Shabbos before that, but the Maariv service is usually the norm. It's not just somebody saying, I'm Mekabel Shabbos, although it could be. Although for women nowadays, lighting candles is really what it is. Nevertheless, for many people, certainly for men, it's going to be generally Maariv. So once you start Maariv, once you start Baruch, certainly we who start with Kabbalah Shabbos, once you either get to Boi V'Shalom or Mizmor Shir, depending on how you, you know, view that, you're fasting on Shabbos. So, is that really fasting? Maybe I'm not fasting, I'm just not eating. Shabbos morning. One is not supposed to fast on Shabbos day. Preferably one should eat before Chatzos. If one doesn't eat until after Chatzos, it seems that he's somewhat in violation. Just to point out, the Rambam mentions, you know, many shuls, they have a minhag to sing and have longer services. So while he might not advocate the practice, he also frowns upon discouraging people and trying to get them to cut it down. This is important. So maybe that's a different story. We do see a relationship, an inverse relationship perhaps, that if whatever I'm doing gives me more pleasure than not eating right now, maybe I can justify it by, you know, it's a give and take, as long as I'm not intending to fast. But even if my intent isn't to fast, I just haven't eaten yet. It's not allowed, in general, to not eat past Chatzos.
Just a matter of curiosity, when Kippur falls on Shabbos,
yes.
What is the reason why we do fast? Because it's exerts a custom?
It's a derisa to fast on Yom Kippur, even in those situations. I mean, it's just...
It's not a los.
One has to address what's for Gosel Shabbos Oneg. It may only be Midr Rabbanan. There's a Rambam that needs to be addressed, whether it has some you know, roots in the Deraisa, but it's certainly not the same as Yom Kippur. It may be a Midr Rabbanan, in which case certainly the Deraisa would override the Midr Rabbanan. So, that being the case, you know, by the way, just to circumvent that, if somebody knows that shul is going to take too long, before shul, he could just take a cup of water. You're allowed to drink water before davening, and you're not chayv in kiddush until after you said shacharis, so just have a cup of water and you're fine. So there's no problems there. But either way, Shabbos morning, so I understand after chatzos, that's already a substantial portion of the day, rove of the day once I've passed chatzos, so I haven't eaten, maybe it's similar to a fast, but I haven't eaten when I've woken up either. So why is that not a problem? Why is just going to shul, even if I go to the Hashkama Minyan and I come home, you know, by 9 o'clock? Why am I not fasting? So it seems that because it doesn't feel like I'm fasting, perhaps. I don't feel hungry. I don't feel tremendously hungry. Whereas when you go into Shabbos, you presumably are hungry. You fasted an entire day if you fasted on Friday. And now you're entering into Shabbos in a state of being mu'una. You're in a state of being afflicted, and it's perpetuating to whatever amount of time it's going to take you until you're able to say Kiddush, at least, and continue to eat. So you're entering Shabbos in that state. So the Gemara in Erevin addresses this addresses it directly. The Gemara wants to know, what do you do? Are you misana umashlim? Do you fast and complete the fast? Or do not fast and complete the fast. Now we need to understand what complete the fast means, and we'll find that different Rishonim understand the definition of mashlim, completing the fast, in different ways. But the Gemara discusses how Rabbi Akiva would, when Tisha B'Av would fall out on Erev Shabbos, we mentioned that that could happen, this was the source that I was referring to, Mem Aleph and Erevin, when Tisha B'Av would fall out on Shabbos, so he would eat a little bit, an egg, before Shabbos came in, it seems. We have to address what mashlim is. But he wasn't mashlim his fast. Let's leave it at that. He wasn't mashlim his fast by eating. And the Gemara even says, and the truth is he didn't even need it. It sounds like he wasn't hungry. But he wanted to do it to show people that it's important not to enter Shabbos in the state of being Mu'una. Which in and of itself is interesting, because he personally wasn't Mu'una. So you'll say, why is he allowed to eat? So it must be that Rabbi Akiva is saying, whatever not being Mashlim, the pshat is when they started the tainus, when they initially instituted this tainus. Keep in mind, theoretically, Yom Kippur is a different story. It's a deraisa, you would have to complete it. Every other fast is a derabana. When they implemented this tainus, they never did it with the understanding that you would be mashlim, according to Rabbi Akiva. You would not be mashlim. And therefore, even people who aren't mu'una, it's a low plug. It's something that, you know, when they said the tainus, that's it. There are certain people who are excluded from the tainus, even though theoretically they could fast. And that's just how it works. So that seems to be what Rabbi Akiva was displaying. Then there's a discussion, Rabbi Yossi and other Tanoim perhaps have differences of opinion, the Amoraim have differences of opinion, and it seems that the Maskana is, unlike Rabbi Akiva, rather Mis'ana u'mashlim. A person has to fast and has to complete the fast. But the question is, what does it mean to complete the fast? Meaning, right now it seems that for whatever reason, even though the Gemara does understand you're entering into Shabbos mu'una, you're entering into Shabbos fasting, and that's not great, nevertheless, you still have to do that because the tainus takes precedence. Now, keep in mind, Shabbos itself, whatever mashlim means, we'll give a few possibilities now, which we'll find, doesn't mean when I'm a Kabbal Shabbos, because now it's a new day, or now it's Shabbos, at least, so it's 100% Shabbos. So mashlim means that prior to accepting Shabbos, if I was not mashlim, I would have eaten and then been mekabel Shabbos. Right? Now I'm allowing you to be mekabel Shabbos and then eat. But that Kabbalah Shabbos perhaps is whenever mekabel Shabbos. If I want to make early Shabbos, I'll make early Shabbos and end my fast early. That's one possibility. Another possibility of mashlim could be that no, of course that's not the case. Because that's your own discretion to declare what Shabbos is. But when Shabbos with certainty comes in, such as at Shkia, so then you can't, Mashlim would mean you have to at least get to Shkia, but not after Shkia. Or does Mashlim mean what we normally say about a Tainus, that a Tainus normally goes until Tzeisak Lachav? So there's 3 points we need to address. Does Mashlim mean I take my fast until I've accepted Shabbos, which is after Plag? Does mashlim mean I accept but until only after Shkia, because now it's not at my discretion? Or does mashlim mean, no, I have to go all the way till Tzeis. And therefore, the Eino mashlim means, if it's our first scenario, I actually have to eat, even though it's not even Shabbos yet, by any standards. Or does mashlim mean that I would be Mekabel Shabbos, let's say, before Shkia, and then eat before Shkia? Or does Eino Mashlim mean I would wait until after Shkia and then just eat prior to Tzeis? Okay, now, we hold Mashlim, so the Eino Mashlim, you'll know just by deducting from how we hold what it theoretically would have been. So there are a few Shitas. Only two out of the three I mentioned really are seemingly stated by the Rishonim, but there is a third opinion that has to do with a different approach to not the definition of mashlim, but the obligation to be mashlim. Was it obligatory, or was it only an allowance that you could if you want? So the Rush and Tosfos hold that it's until Seis, which was one that we said, but it's only if you want to. If you don't want to, you don't have to. So they look at this tension, being that you can fast, it should be a problem. The Gemara is allowing you to fast if you want to complete your fast, and it's not a violation of Shabbos, but because Shabbos is normally something that one should partake of Oneg, if one wants to participate in Oneg Shabbos and end his fast, he's allowed to do so also. In fact, it almost sounds like that would be the norm, but if you want to continue, you're more than welcome to do so. That's how the Rosh and Tosfos seem to learn. The Rokeach holds, no, you have to fast until Tzeis HaKochav. The Tor brings the Shita of Rabbeinu Meir, it seems also to be the Ravid, that holds that no, it's whenever you accept Shabbos. That's Mashlim. Now, why is that? So, there's two possibilities. One possibility is that once I make it Shabbos, it's the next day. So my fast is over. The other possibility is, no. When I accept Shabbos, it's not Saturday, it's Friday, B'Kedusha Shabbos. And therefore, just because I've accepted Shabbos, I have now Friday, B'Kedusha Shabbos, at the same point in time, that wouldn't naturally absolve me of having to continue fasting. However, when they originally instituted this fast, because of Shabbos, they allowed me to continue fasting, or even they forced me to continue fasting, or they allowed me to break my fast once that started, because it's considered mashim as of that point in time. It's not the definition of a switch of day, it's the definition of what wasn't the intent at the institution of the times. Now there's a machlokas shach and taz. It comes up in several places. One of the most notable places is in Hilchos Nida, and that's where you find this main argument of, is Kabbalah's Shabbos making a new day? Is it as if Friday is over and it's now Shabbos? Or is it, no, of course it's Friday, but it's Friday with the Kedusha of Shabbos. And there are many nafkaminas that can come about because of this. The one being discussed there would be a Hafsek Tara if one was Mekabel Shabbos. So is it for Hilchos Nida the next day? Or is it not the next day just yet?
Then they're asking somebody to do Malacha for you.
That is a different story, because even if I've made a Shabbos for me, he hasn't made a Shabbos for him.
But that's no different than, how's it any different than Amir La'akum?
It's a very big difference, because Amir La'akum, Chazal made a specific gzeir or takana that you're not allowed to ask the Akum. It's a specific isser to do that. No such isser applies to a Jew. We're not afraid that you're going to be Mizazel Shabbos. We're not afraid that he's going to continue to do it. And therefore, if you've accepted Shabbos, so long as it's not really Shabbos yet, and another Jew has not yet accepted Shabbos, you are allowed to ask him to do Malacha for you. So that would be permissible. Amir Lachim is an independent prohibition. So here, we find this Machlokas Shach and Taz. If you hold that it's no longer Friday, it's now Shabbos, then it's reasonable why, all of a sudden, well, if it's really Shabbos now it's reasonable that my fast is over, because Friday's up. And they only were gozer tainus on a Friday, not on Shabbos. So that's reasonable. But what if, and this is how we pass in the Ikar Din, even if we try the Chathchila to accommodate the Shita V'taz, and we try to chumra assume that, you know, Friday is over when you accept Shabbos, but b'di'evet, in the situation we talk about, neither, whatever it is, where a woman accepted Shabbos, b'di'evet, it's still Friday, and it still counts as Friday if she forgot to do what she needed to on Friday with her Nefesh Tara. So l'chatchila she shouldn't, because of the Taz, but b'di'evet is going to work because of the Shach. How do we address that? It's still Friday. So if it's still Friday, how's my fast up? You're going to have to say it's up because when they initially made the Xer of Atinus, it was done with the intent that should this fall, and it's the first Aser B'Tefis, I have no idea what day of the week it fell on. But if it fell on a Friday, then fine, I get it. If it didn't fall on a Friday, then they had in mind, should this fast day ever fall out on a Friday, that our intent is only until Shabbos, whatever element of Shabbos between the three Shitas that we've established. And that would be how that's addressed according to the Shach. So both sides can very easily navigate. The Taz could also hold like the Shach, he just doesn't need to. The the Shach can't hold like the Taz because it's not a change of day. So when it comes down to it, we hold that you need to be mashlim, and we hold that you do need to be mashlim until Tzeisa Kochav. But the Ramah says something interesting. The Ramah says that it's kind of up in the air. The Hachra on this Machlokas Rishonim, it's not so clear-cut how we paskin. And keep in mind, we're dealing with Yisur D'Rabbanan here, so there is what to address with that. So the Ramah says, when it comes to a Tainis Tzibur, so we're Machmir. When it comes to a Tainis Yachid, then we're Mekel. So if a person wanted to accept a fast for whatever reason on a Friday, so he can stop his fast when he accepts Shabbos. But if it's a Tainis Tzibur, like a Sarah Batavis this Friday, so then he needs to go until Tzeis, and he needs to. It's not just allowed to. He needs to in such a situation. That's Achra, the Ramah says. And he says it's for, you know, it's Mechav in Tainis Tzibur and Tainis Yachid. What Tainis Tzibur is he talking about? Well, obviously, Asar B'Tavius is the only one that can happen. But theoretically, as we've mentioned, other Tainios can happen. Even, you know, a Tainis Tzibur can happen on Friday. Now, he's not talking about pre-calendar. He's not talking about the fact that Tisha B'Av and these things used to fall on it. What he would be talking about is if there's some sort of tzara or some sort of concern that the tzibur as a whole, the city, the country, whatever it would be, would declare a tainus which could be binding. So in such a situation, then tainus tzibur has a different status than a tainus of a yachid. Preferably a tainus yachid. So we've mentioned this, I believe, in the past. If we haven't, it is a halacha. I just feel like it had to have come up in an earlier shiur that we've talked about tanesim. But a tainus yachid needs to be accepted the day before in the afternoon, preferably during mincha, if not sometime during the afternoon. So preferably, one, when accepting that tainus, should take upon himself that it's only until mekabel Shabbos, if he wants to stop it at that point in time. The question comes up, the Drisha addresses this. There are other fast days that people have, personal fast days, that they establish for themselves. And we kind of touched upon this a few minutes ago when I said, I don't know if the first Asar B'Tavis was on a Friday or not, but that might be a major nafkamina. If somebody starts fasting something a few times, it could become like a nice minhag, and a nice minhag actually may have some status that, barring Taras Nadarim or something of that nature, that a person may have to keep that. So if somebody has been doing a tainus, let's say, 3 times, 3 years in a row on a certain date, it may never have fallen out on a Friday, and all of a sudden falls out on a Friday. So did he establish that he's going to fast the whole way through? Because he never intended. He never thought about it falling on a Friday. Part of what the Ramah's dealing with on a Tainis Yachid is because Mistama, you're going to think it when you're accepting for the next day. If you explicitly stated you're going to be Mashlim, you have to be Mashlim. But if it's assumed that you had intended not to be Mashlim on a Friday, it's better to state it explicitly, as we said, but if not, it's assumed that way. Right? So here, if the first time, and every subsequent time you're just doing it based on the first one, let's say, if the first time he accepted this tainus, it was a Tuesday, so it never dawned on him that should the day end early, because the day can't end early. Even if I daven ma'ariv before shkia, which is possible, it's the old minhag Ashkenaz, to daven after plav before shkia, right? Even if I do that, it's not the next day in such a situation. There's no Kedushas Wednesday on Tuesday. It's just that I'm allowed to daven ma'ariv. At that point, I'm going to Rabbi Yehuda. So that being the case, what happens in subsequent years when it falls out on a Friday? The most common example is people who oftentimes fast for a yahrzeit. So they may not be thinking. They establish on the first yahrzeit that they're going to fast. Perhaps they do believe another, but if not, then all of a sudden they may be establishing a practice, certainly if they do it a few times, that what do you do in this scenario? So because of that, it's advocated that the very first time that somebody begins Attinus, if it's going to be done on an annual basis, that he should say, I'm making this Attinus, I know tomorrow's Tuesday, let's say, whatever it would be. Right? I know tomorrow's Tuesday, but should this ever fall out on a Friday, my intent right now is not to be koveya, that I'm going to accept this fast in this fashion every single year from this point on. Now, it might not make much of a difference for many times. If a person has a yard site in Tavis, let's say, how frequently does one really make early Shabbos in the middle of the winter? Right? So it might not be practical. But if a guy has a yard site in the middle of Tammuz, so all of a sudden, these are very long days. It's very common to have early Shabbos in Tammuz. So it's something that he may want to consider. Personally, I think that, even if it is in the middle of the winter, it's always kedai to leave your options open. You don't want to get in a bad situation. Probably know one time you're visiting Australia, where winter is summer, summer is winter. Who knows? So it's always kedai not to take on things, certainly accidentally to take on things, that and have them binding, because Tov, Sholotidur, Mishatidur, so it's better not to make the nether in the beginning. But in a nutshell, that's really what it does come down to. So once again, for Tainius, like Asar Batavis said, or Tainius Tzibur, so those we do fast, and we are mashim until Tzeis HaKochavim, even though it's on Shabbos. But for Tainius Yachid, it's left open, but explicitly he preferably should say that he's only accepting until that point. And an annual tainus that somebody has, it would really be practical for the first time he state that he's not intending for this to be koveya, the nature of the tainus, if it's like that, not a Friday. If his first one is a Friday, it's a much easier way to get out of, because then he's doing it based on the first one, and the first one, if he says explicitly, it's only until he accepts Shabbos. Then that's it. So even if in subsequent years, when it doesn't fall on the Friday, he doesn't make that stipulation, it's assumed that it's all based on the original time and the first time that he made that.
And the Yom Tov falls on a Wednesday, so then he can go to a Mar that's
there. No, he can't. Because it only works on Friday.
Or you can stipulate beforehand is that every year, whatever the year check comes out, and then goes to Marav,
A person could do that, but then that's not the same as a normal tinus, so to speak. That would be more of a tinus shows. Meaning, if a person fasts a Friday until when he's mekabel Shabbos on the tinus yachid, it's considered that he fasted an entire day. If he fasts only until he davens Maariv on a Wednesday, and he stipulated that when he took his nether, it's no different than somebody saying he's taking a fast until Chatzos, or he's taking a fast for the first 4 or 5 hours in the day. The Gemara has a whole discussion, a tainus shows, if one is allowed to say aneinu or not. So, even if one is allowed to in the end of the day, it doesn't seem to have the same weight as a Kabbalah for a tainus of a full day tainus. A tainus yachid is allowed to be done until Kabbalah Shabbos, and still to be considered the Kulei Alma as a full tainus. I mean, the Kulei Alma meaning at the point in time we're at now. Obviously, we have those Rishonim, such as the Rokeach, who holds that even for a tainus yachid, mashlim means all the way until tzeis. We're misopic. Does it mean all the way until tzeis, like the Rokeach? Does it mean until tzeis is allowed, but I don't have to? Or does it mean, like Rabbeinu Meir, that no, it just means until Makabel Shabbos, and at that point in time, I really should start eating, because now I have Mitzvah Shabbos.
So they would eat right before davening, or?
Well, no, you would be Makabel Shabbos, so you don't find. I guess it's not discussed so much because Tainus Yachid doesn't happen, I think, as frequently on Friday. Certainly, that it's a common thing that people are talking about all the time. Many people do fast on Yahrzeit, so it doesn't happen too crazily, but for many people to be talking about it at any given point in time. When is the Tainus Tzibur? So we're going to be mashlim anyway, so we're going to daven. Nobody that I've seen advocates for a Tainus Yachid that if he's not going to be mashlim, meaning he'll only go into Kabbalah Shabbos, that what he should do is be Mekabbalah Shabbos with Kiddush, and that way he stopped his fast at the split second, essentially, or within a few seconds of making. I haven't seen that. I think the standard is, Namastama, he'll go to shul, and he'll daven, and within a few moments after that, you know, that process of Kabbalah Shabbos will result in going home and then making Kiddush and eating. Now, that could be based on the fact also that even on a Chayes Yachid, the fact that we do have this three-way machlokas, so it's not necessarily considered the biggest thing if he did enter Shabbos a little with still fasting, because there are Shitas that he has to until Tzeis, or he could until Tzeis. But keep in mind, that is the tension you have here, is that according to one Shita, you're not allowed to fast when Shabbos comes in.
So what are they, so in this situation, let's say, for this Shabbos and, you know, Tais Tibur, because the problem of fasting on Shabbos, should davening not be dragged out? I mean, how? I mean, are you allowed to?
Nice try. No.
I mean, would you say like don't have a karbach minyan that night because? If you don't care,
I would advocate for a few reasons. I would advocate samazoi on a regular tainus. I advocate davening at a respectable but quickened pace because people want to get home. There's a difference if when you finish davening, the tainus isn't even over yet, but certainly in situations where it is, you have to do that. The Gemara discusses even that some Amoraim wanted to daven Havinenon, was a Yom Kippur. Havinenon was an abridged version of Shemona Esther, because
Tirchot is printed in many of the Marzorim saying you should daven Marv quickly and once a Yom Kippur.
Quickly, but respect, I mean, exactly. You know, it's, don't schlep it out, have Kavana, at the same time, be cognizant of the fact that the Tzibur is just, that's on any time. So certainly in a Shabbos like this, I do think that it'd be best to, you know, go quickly, but not crazy quick, like at a reasonable pace. But yes, I would certainly say that one should not dray it out and try to end davening as quickly as reasonably possible.
But is there like some sort of an isser though? That is. Let's say people got together and they said we want.
They all want to?
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to Shabbos Meunah, so what's the difference? It may be similar to the shul that wants to, on Shabbos morning, daven until after Chatzos.
Right.
So you see that the Rama may not advocate the practice. He may say it's preferable not to do that, but if you really get a geschmack out of that, and that Tzibur does, then he says you're not allowed to stop. And then they should be doing that. So that's possible. I just have a feeling that on a Sar B'tei Beis, yeah, most people aren't going to be in that mode.
I have heard that they say not to sing Shalom Aleichem that Shabbos. It's not fair to the guests and all.
Yeah, I mean, once again, you should always be cognizant of that. I think you should get to Kiddush reasonably quickly. Do you have to do things that are, you know, if you're really hungry, then yes, skip it. If you're okay, then, you know, a couple seconds. I don't know if that's such a make it or break it in order to, that is a covet for Shabbos also to sing Shalom Aleichem. It's similar to that Ramah that we're dealing with, is that if that's part of your Shabbos meal and it's going to enhance it, then, you know, maybe don't stop it to change out of the ordinary. At the same time, if you're really hungry, then, you know, you could wash and everything, and then just a few moments later, you can sing Shalom Aleichem.
Sing it afterwards.
Sing it afterwards. I've done that on Sukkot, when it looked cloudy, and we sing Shalom Aleichem even on Yom Tov in my house. And if it looks cloudy, so, you know, we're nervous if we're going to be able to get Hamotzi on time, and, you know, in the Sukkah, otherwise it can get a little dicey. So we'll sing later, and, you know, wash, eat, and then we'll sing afterwards, you know.